everyone. Welcome to another episode of Comedy History 101. I'm Harmon. We have a brand new episode for you today on the history of fake Charlie Chaplins. Oh, that sounds intriguing. And before we jump into the episode, a few things to plug. Next Friday, March 6th, at the People's Improv Theater in New York City, I have my show, Jokey-Okey. Yes, stand-up comedy karaoke in a three-round game show. It's 11 p.m. at The Pit, the People's Improv Theater. Also next week, Scott and I have a big announcement. Our latest film has made it into a major film festival that we can't tell you the name of until it's announced next week. Also, take time to like, comment, and subscribe to Comedy History 101, either via our website, Comedy History 101, or Stitcher, or iTunes, or Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcast. And without further ado,
you're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101. Here we
go. Okay, so what we have is a man who looks like Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah.
He's hitting people.
Uh-huh.
He's twirling his cane.
But how much do you think it's
Charlie Chaplin?
Okay, but it's not quite Charlie Chaplin.
It's not Charlie Chaplin.
Okay, is this the not Mexican? Is this the Mexican Charlie Chaplin?
No spoiler alerts.
All right.
So what you just heard there was the soundtrack to a clip from a movie by comedian Billy West, who is known for being the best Charlie Chaplin impersonator. And yes, you've tuned into another episode of
Comedy History 101.
Where we school you in comedy. I, of course, am Harmon Leon. With me, as always, Scott Colonico. How are you?
Pretty good, Harmon. It's the last of winter over here on the other side of the pond, so, you know.
Blah, 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 winter.
What?
Sorry.
hunkered down in the bunker. That's kind of funny because it's Berlin.
So, Scott, when you hear the name Billy West, what comes to mind?
Certainly not Charlie Chaplin. Actually, nothing. Apparently, there is some other Billy West who was a voiceover actor who was kind of famous. So if you Google Billy West, that's usually who comes up first.
Yeah, but today, our episode today, here on this podcast, our episode, the topic is the history of fake Charlie Chaplins.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So Charlie Chaplin, he came to America via London and the music hall. He skyrocketed to fame. People couldn't get enough of Charlie Chaplin. So roughly around 1917, Charlie Chaplin arrives to Hollywood, built his studio on Sunset Boulevard and La Brea Avenue, and America just couldn't get enough of Charlie Chaplin. So what did they do? The film companies. To satisfy America's appetite for Charlie Chaplin.
Well, Harmon, it's like you're from New York. You know how it is when you go down to Chinatown, you see all the knockoff bags, man. If people can't get enough, if there aren't enough Prada bags, people will step in and fill the gap with fake Prada bags, which is what happened in Hollywood in the 1915, 1917, 1918 era, is that they produced not only one, but a few different Charlie Chaplin imitators who would fill the void of Chaplin.
But the most famous of them all was a man named Billy West. When Charlie Chaplin mania exploded, Billy West was living in Chicago. He tried his hand at being a Chaplin imitator at a local parade. It was such a hit that he was hired to perform in vaudeville. So essentially, he stole Chaplin's cane, derby hat, costume, mannerisms, and the audiences kind of, if you look at the films, you can't really tell the difference right off the bat.
Yeah, and then they kind of pushed it where they would start calling like his films like Charlie, like there's like Charlie's Day Out, and they were like kind of. So apparently there was, I was reading about this, like a lot of the Chaplin films actually weren't copyrighted, like, you know, mm-hmm. we're talking about the 1915 or whatever. So people would start cutting out, you know, different parts of them and drop in a fake Chaplin or what have you. So there was a lot of Chaplins going around at that time.
Yeah, so some of Billy West's films, he came into sort of being known around 1917. So Chaplin had films called like Doe and Dynamite, The Tramp, A Night Out, The Champion. And Billy West had comedies called Donuts, The Hobo, His Day Out, His Married Life, yeah. The Hero, and The Millionaire.
Yeah.
Instead of The Count.
Yeah, I think this stat kind of sums it up. Because, you know, Chaplin was known as kind of a perfectionist. Not only would he be in the films, he started doing some of the scoring for some of them, you know, some of the music mm-hmm. for them. But it's like this stat kind of says it all. In 1918, you know, kind of at the height of his popularity, Charlie Chaplin released only 3 short films. And that same year, Billy West started 15. So he was out Charlie Chaplin him by what? What, by 5?
Yeah, and they would actually be released as Charlie Chaplin films in some towns. And actually, when it made it to the home movie market, some were just labeled as Charlie Chaplin pictures.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of goes back to the whole, that's what I was talking about, how the whole, like, the copyright issue was not, you know, people weren't, it wasn't like it is today. So, yeah, a lot of that stuff would happen like that.
Well, it's just crazy because this is like, you know, this is the very early cinema and the rise of the movie star. And the first thing that cinema did, you know, once it started gaining traction was, you know, just completely just, you know, ripping off other popular things. That was like the initial go-to.
Right, yeah, you know, just kind of from your vaudeville and whatnot, just kind of throw that up on screen. I think for me... before we move on, what's interesting is that Chaplin and Billy West actually kind of had the same background. Chaplin came from London, kind of a poor background in London. His parents were vaudevillians. His dad was a little bit of a drinker, kind of drank himself to death, and his mom went crazy apparently. So she was in and out of institutions.
They grew up in the poorhouse, as they call it, or the workhouse.
Yeah, him and his brother, like more so, you know, like Oliver Twist.
Yeah, Oliver Twist, his brother
like,
Sidney.
For real.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Billy West kind of had the same thing. He was actually born as Roy Weisberg in the Russian Empire to a Jewish family. And they immigrated to Chicago in the late 1800s. And he also got a start in vaudeville, as you were saying, and then also found fame as Charlie Chaplin impersonator before he was even in the movies.
Yeah, so he actually appeared in a few films before he took on the Charlie Chaplin guise, you know. His first film was called Apartment Number 13 in 1912. So he had a 5-year run of doing films before he found the formula of just ripping off Charlie Chaplin. And again, it was, and here's another tie-in that will lead to, is when this came up like on my YouTube feed, you know, and it was titled as Charlie Chaplin film, and I looked at it, and you know, I've seen most of Charlie Chaplin's film, so, and I was like, what, why haven't I seen this before? and you like right off the bat, you can't tell the difference.
Yeah, no, you can't. When you see him, you're just like, yeah, who, this guy seems pretty familiar, and he kind of had his mannerisms down. I think one of the things that critics would point out would that mm-hmm. He kind of, not only did he have Chaplin's look, he kind of had his persona down as well, how he was always getting in trouble from the cops, and yet he would kind of do these escapes from the cops, but with agility as well, like Chaplin.
Yeah, he tried to show like the empathy of the character.
Right.
But exactly. another big claim to fame of, you know, that puts Billy West on the map was his co-star. Yes, yeah. That's right. The films all co-star, pretty much all co-star.
A lot of them, yeah.
One Oliver Hardy. Ooh.
Yeah. Oliver Babe. Was it Babe Hardy? Yeah, who would later go on to fame with Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah, so, well, first, you know, in Charlie Chaplin's films, there was the great villain character played by Eric Campbell, kind of like the big, heavy guy. So in the Billy West version of the Chaplin ripoff films, Oliver Hardy took on the character of the big, heavy guy, often, like, strangling him around the neck and all those kind of crazy silent film kind of, you know, mannerisms.
With big bushy mustaches.
Yeah, but another thing which ties into Laurel and Hardy, you know, again, this is like, you could see the early seeds of Oliver Hardy, but he didn't have down, like, all, he was more, like, over the top with his mannerisms, where, like, Laurel and Hardy was kind of very subtle with his mannerisms.
Right, yeah.
But here in this, you know, he's still getting his, you know, comedy chops together, but he's just, like, all his mannerisms are, like, just way over the top. So he was still kind of, so it's interesting to watch where, you know, Oliver Hardy's still kind of, you know, learning his skills. But another thing that ties into Laurel and Hardy is that Charlie Chaplin's understudy when they were touring in vaudeville was one Stan Laurel, and they were actually roommates. So
yeah, that's right.
I'm blowing your mind.
Oh, man. But it would be better if it was Billy West, but it's not.
What, Billy West was his roommate or his understudy?
That would be better.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So you watched a few films. Tell us about fake Charlie Chaplin and Oliver Hardy in The Hobo.
Oh, well, The Hobo, if you're going to watch one of these films, I would recommend The Hobo. Actually, you can find that on YouTube, and you can find some versions that are colored. Which kind of makes for interesting viewing in some of in light.
Do you
of
like
some
the colorized
the
sort of version of these?
Well, let me talk about a specific gag that's in one of these films. Let's just say it was a very unwoke moment for 1917. Was that where Billy West, fake Chaplin? This is the first thing you see is Oliver Hardy stuffing his face with sausages. So there's that gag there. You get a lot of face stuffing and pancake eating.
Such as I saw that gag. So the gag is a large man can't get enough of eating.
Yeah, that's we've
that's
got
the
that.
That's the comedy premise there.
That's kind of a lot of these silent movies are kind of like that. But like this one gag is, let's see, there is an African American family that steps off the train, but they're not actually. They just somebody has colored their faces, and they have a lot of children packed into a box, and Billy West pays them by giving them a watermelon. So that's kind of that's kind of the level.
There's a couple of problematic moments in the 1917 silent film The Hobo, which is a ripoff of Chaplin's The Tramp.
Right.
And first of all, just let's pay homage to the hackery of that. Like Chaplin's big film of the time was The Tramp, and so Billy West comes out with a movie called The Hobo.
Yeah, he's kind of like, it's like a pre-Roger Corman kind of, you know, where those AIP pictures were jumping, you know, the gun on the big studios where he was doing that.
And the production company of the time, just to give it a little shout out, was King B was the production company Hobo.
Yeah, and here's the even more beyond that, it was like West... You know, because they were pumping out a lot of these films, and so he needed lots of
people. Yeah, one a week, a two-reeler a week.
Yeah, and that's – but what he – the people he hired is he hired a lot of people who used to work with Chaplin, like Chaplin's gag writers, some of his co-stars. and then the point – I was reading this very well-written mm-hmm. article – was saying that West was emulating Chaplin so carefully that he slept with his hair in curlers, and he learned how to play the violin left-handed.
Yeah, and just to name some of those co-stars, one I sort of just remember from watching a lot of Charlie Chaplin films, Max Swan, who was always in a lot of Chaplin silent films.
Okay.
Yeah, I just for the people that are keeping track.
Right. Okay. I'm not gonna argue with that. Yeah.
Yeah, but Charlie Chaplin, what was his reaction to Billy West?
Well, see, here's the other thing, because so Chaplin had a studio over on Sunset, and then at the same time, literally at the same time, Billy West was working in Los Angeles, and his studio was at 1329 Gordon Street, which is like about a mile and a half from the Chaplin studio. So yep. Occasions where the two film crews would run into each other when they were filming things. And so this is a story that Chaplin's one of the Chaplin's actually reported, not by Chaplin, and was reported to a historian, the historian Kevin Brownlow, mm-hmm. The unit production manager during a shoot for Billy West. He said that one day they were out in the street shooting, and Charlie Chaplin came by, saw them shooting, and saw Billy West doing his version of Charlie Chaplin, and Charlie paused to stop and told Billy West, he said, "You're a damned good imitator."
Yeah, but that was the difference. I think like a review back in the day was, you know, when you see Billy West, you see Charlie Chaplin, it's the difference between talent and genius.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
Because he's good. He's damn good. Because I thought, you know, if you watch it, you actually think it's Charlie Chaplin. And it's kind of just so surreal. Because especially if you're a film fan and seen... You know, most of Charlie Chaplin's movies.
And if you're like, you know, you're not talking, you're not dealing with people who've watched 10,000 hours of YouTube, you know, at this time. So, like, a lot of times people would just, you know, see one or two movies maybe a year, maybe in their life, you know, mm-hmm. and you're not going to be sophisticated enough to tell the difference between Billy West and Charlie Chaplin, you know? If it makes you laugh, it's enough.
And Chaplin was a perfectionist and, you know, just would take his time, you know, directing his films, but they were just, and then Billy West was just cranking out one a week.
Yeah, so this is another kind of an interesting tidbit. This is actually from an article in a 1919 magazine called Pictures and Picture Goer. That's old timey names. Pictures and Picture Goer
and the old wireless.
Hey, line.
Grandfather's mustache.
Wire coming in. and the article is titled, quote, "Funniosities in Charlie's Mail." One of Chaplin's most memorable letters came from a fan who said, quote, the fan said, quote, "He would enjoy it more if you would be yourself and not always trying to be." Let me try one more time. The fan who said, quote, "He would enjoy it if you would more be yourself and not always trying to imitate Billy West." And apparently,
so that's to Chaplin?
Yeah, to Chaplin. Chaplin got that in the letter. And so apparently Chaplin, the writer Elsie Codd, reported that Chaplin kept the letter so he wouldn't get a big head.
Yeah. So another funny twist to the Billy West story was I think like all these small production companies just kind of kept going out of business. So by 1919, I think it was a production company called Bullseye that was producing the films of Billy West, the fake Charlie Chaplin films. And Billy West ended up suing them because Bullseye claimed that they owned the Billy West character.
Which in turn was just
Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah.
And then Billy West struck back by saying, "For 10 years I've worked earnestly in Sicily, both on stage and screen, to make my name a valuable trademark. I do not intend to allow others to profit by my labor. I am now under contract to the Emerald Motion Picture Company produce genuine Billy West comedies, and I positively declare that no other company has the right or title to my name." Says fake Charlie Chaplin.
Right, but how did he sign? This is the best part, is that he signed the letter, "Use yours for truth and fairness, the only and original Billy West."
Yeah, so again, though, he wasn't the only fake Charlie Chaplin at the time. So what Bullseye Films did was they got another fake Charlie Chaplin to play Billy West playing Charlie Chaplin. They got a comedian named Harry Mann.
Okay, yeah, right. Yeah, and Chad, Billy West actually moved into kind of doing, he kind of dropped doing the Chaplin impression and started doing his own two-reelers, or started doing his own shorts. He kind of took a 1920s guy with his, straw hat. And the funny thing is that he kept the mustache.
Well, he had like a penciled mustache, like kind of like a, you know, dapper kind of character.
I watched the one I watched where...
He kept the Hitler mustache?
Yeah, he has got the Hitler mustache in it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so,
yeah, so he
no,
went on...
No, here it is. Yeah, it's yep. Sorry. Yeah, no, here's the short if you want to see it on YouTube. It's called Hard Boiled Yeggs from 1926. Yeah, and he's still got the mustache. He's still got the Hitler mustache, Hitler/Chaplin mustache, but now he's like dressed like 1920s dandy.
Yeah, but he went on, besides, going on and creating a different character, which, by the way, he never rose to the heights that he had in fame that he had playing fake Charlie Chaplin. He also became a film director, and he also directed a number of comedy shorts starring Oliver Hardy from 1922 to 1928.
Yeah, so, and he had, like, a lot of walk-ons, and he also, probably the one film that most people might have heard of is he has a bit part as a reporter in It Happened One Night, the one with Clark Gable.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. I didn't see that. But again, just another film trivia is that he co-starred Oliver Hardy in the films he directed with another comedian who would later become famous called named Charlie Chase, which, I'm familiar with some of his stuff. He was kind of like one of the big deals of the day.
Okay. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with being a big deal back in the day.
And I'm pretty sure this trivia fact is true, that Laurel and Hardy actually made more silent films than talkies.
Yeah, I would believe that. Yeah, but the talkies are what, you know.
Yeah.
He gets all mad at them.
But if you watch the early Laurel and Hardy films, it's very minimal on dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like they took a lot from silent film, and and if you look at like the great silent comedians, like very few kind of made the transition well, like Buster Keaton, we don't really remember much of his like talkie films from early on. He was like paired with like Jimmy Durante. Like the film studio paired him with Jimmy Durante, which I think that was like Buster Keaton's biggest alcoholism days. His wife sued him, took their house, and Buster Keaton was living in a trailer on the lot.
Just
be an alcoholic and have to co-star with Jimmy Durante, which he hated.
Yeah. No, that doesn't sound like fun.
No one else is in fun? Well. Billy West, he ended up being the manager of Columbia Grill Restaurant. You know, that could be fun. But he died July 21st, 1975, at a heart attack, leaving the Hollywood Racetrack in Hollywood, California.
That's sad. Yeah, well, he stopped acting in 1935. I did some research, so I'm thinking from what I kind of dug up, I think the Columbia Grill Restaurant was actually the on-site restaurant at Columbia Studios.
Oh, wow, okay. So
he was kind of still working in the industry, more or less.
So, again, that was the most famous of Charlie Chaplin impersonators. Shall we segue to a lesser, like, let's go down the rung a little bit?
Well, I mean, this is kind of my favorite named one, Harmon. That would be Charlie Applin.
Yeah, so it's crazy that the Billy West movies were so popular and that Billy West moved on, you know, to another company, that one of Billy West's production companies, I believe it was Sanford Productions, hired a Mexican actor named Charles Amador, and he changed his name for the films to Charlie Applin. I mean, that's like having movies with like Ben Manfleck,
yeah,
Brad Snit, and just having
it's like a porn name.
And just having so he only made one film called The Racetrack, which was a ripoff of one of Charlie Chaplin's earliest film, Kid Otto Races at Venice. And there's only what we could find was a still of that movie. And I believe the movie ended up being burnt, like all the negatives of it, because a big court case ensued. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that's actually interesting. So we'll put this, we found a couple of pictures. We'll put them up on the website at comedyhistory101.com so you can see for yourself. You make the call about the fake Charlie Chaplin. So in the trial, trial started. That film came out, so the film came out in 1920. Right, and then the trial started at. Do we have what the date is? I see when the trial ended. I don't know what date it started.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have
when did it end?
The trial ended on. It actually went to the Supreme Court. So, and that was in 1928. So Charlie Chaplin sued, the film company. He sued fake Charlie Chaplin, Amador, and claiming
that... Billy West or Charlie Applin got sued?
No, Charlie Applin got sued, Amador. So so Charlie Chaplin sued the guy, not the company, you know, saying that, you know, claiming that was his intellectual property. And during the trial, they argued that, well, you know, Charlie Chaplin stole all the stuff from other actors and other vaudevillians. And he admitted that, but he said altogether, it's my. So it was actually kind of in the. So they have. There's actually a pretty interesting picture of Chaplin when he's testifying at the trial. And also, you can find our website at comedyhistory101.com of where Chaplin's on the stand, and behind him, there's a drawing of Charlie Applin. So while they're arguing the case. So, Chaplin had to go on stage and testify. And on July 11th, 1925, Superior Court of the State of California ruled in favor of Charlie Chaplin. So it was actually kind of a landmark intellectual property victory. You know, it was like one of the first things that had gone down in film, you know, about films.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, where Billy West, all his movies were billed as Billy West movies. This was just billed as Charlie Applin. Capital A. and he looks exactly like him.
Yeah. Yes. And not quite. I watched a little bit of it. It's just, he doesn't quite get it all, but you know, you can see how old 1920s people might be fooled.
Oh, you saw like the Charlie Applin movie? Because I couldn't find it.
Oh no, I couldn't find it. They just have those film clips. I mean, not clips, the stills.
Oh yeah.
It was kind of like when the Beatles first hit it big in America, and then there was all this like fake Beatle
Herman's Hermits.
Yeah, what they would do, they would record English bands and just make them kind of look like the Beatles and put them out and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it goes, you know, up until this day, all that stuff goes down. When someone becomes big, then, like, say, the record company comes in and, you know, tries to package, you know, a band almost exactly like, or tries to mold them to be like that. And it's funny, I was watching some BBC documentary when, like, Oasis hit it big. There was, like, all these really crappy bands that looked exactly like Oasis. And you know that, you know, they were kind of pushed in that direction.
Yeah, totally. Britpop, man.
So, before we wrap up into the most famous or infamous Charlie Chaplin impersonator, Scott, what happened when the real-life Charlie Chaplin once entered a Charlie Chaplin lookalike contest?
Oh, well, Harmon, I don't know if I want to report this because, well, because I've heard so many differing stories. There's actually, in the one blog I pointed out to you, there's actually a pretty good, what's the skeptical eye cast on this whole story where they
so yeah, let's not say it's true. It's right. it's in urban legend, but yeah. It could be true.
It might be, yeah, but I mean, you can see that it might be something that Charlie Chaplin would have found humorous. But there's actually this one blog, which we will link to, again, to plug the article, comedyhistory101.com, where they recount all the history of newspaper stories. You know, they kind of do that urban legend tracing of the whole thing. And sure. They're just saying, yeah, they thought it was traced to one person's offhand remark in some paper in the UK.
Yeah, well, I heard two stories. Like in 1915, when the United States had a major case of Chaplinitis.
Right.
Charlie Chaplin contest, you know, popped up everywhere. And a young Bob Hope apparently won Charlie Chaplin contest in Cleveland. But the main story was in 1975. So this is kind of like old Charlie Chaplin. He entered there was a Charlie Chaplin lookalike contest in France. And he entered the contest thinking he was a shoo-in and actually ended up winning third place.
Oh, that's sad. Okay. That one's believable. That was
Chaplin's eyes probably threw off the judges since those baby blues couldn't be seen in black and white comedies.
Yeah, so that was from a book called, that's actually quoted from in a book, that was Hollywood Winners and Losers from A to Z. So you can look that up yourself.
And then probably the most notorious, infamous Charlie Chaplin impersonator, Scott, one Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, okay. Well, tell me about it.
Well, first of all, you have the hacky comedians. We've heard this bit, like, you know, I was watching a Charlie Chaplin movie last night, and it turned out to be a World War II documentary, which we hear a lot. But there was actually, like, they share the mustache that has been completely ruined in history.
Yeah, yeah, except for the guys in Monty Python. They could do it.
Oh, yeah. And Michael Jordan, I think, had one of those mustaches for a while.
What?
But, yeah. So in 1938, Charlie Chaplin made the movie The Great Dictator, which he played. The country was called Tomania's autocrat leader, Adenoid Hinkle.
Adenoid Hinkle, yes.
Which was a parody of Hitler.
Yeah. So wait a minute. So what are you saying, that Hitler was a Chaplin impersonator? What is the point?
Well, this is where it gets meta, because it's like, was Hitler impersonating Chaplin or vice versa? But then Chaplin in this movie impersonates Hitler.
Okay. All right. Okay.
But the thing is, like,
I'll hear you out.
Hitler was actually a Charlie Chaplin fan.
Really?
And would screen his films. And actually, I think he said he liked The Great Dictator.
Okay, well, he was a big film fan. We do know that.
Oh, so it said there were rumors that Hitler was heartbroken to see Chaplin's impersonation of him. In one key scene, Chaplin's Hinkle's character bursts into tears after his balloon globe pops.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that Germany had officially banned all of Chaplin's films due to his alleged Jewishness, or however they used to figure it out back in the old timey days, in the Nazi days. Hitler loved Chaplin so much, he would screen his films.
So, Scott, being that we're winding down here, any takeaways from the history of fake Charlie Chaplins?
if you're gonna be a fake Charlie Chaplin, don't call yourself Charlie Applin.
Or Arlie Chaplin. I'd say just for a comedy history perspective, check out some of Billy West's comedies on YouTube. You get to see, you know, kind of like that kind of surrealness of what if Charlie Chaplin co-starred with Oliver Hardy?
I mean, I think that's the kind of the main key thing. The other reason is that because he was putting out so many of these films and he never got targeted by a lawsuit or anything, is that's why we kind of know who he is still, you know. His films kind of stuck around.
Billy West?
Yeah, yeah. As opposed to Charlie Applin, where you can't find a copy of that film anywhere.
Well, I think that was part of the court cases. They destroyed the negatives.
Yeah, okay.
Which, you know, I would love to see Charlie Applin.
I know, maybe like, maybe one of our...
It's such hackery.
I know, man. Maybe one of our viewers out there has some Charlie Applin for us.
Yeah, or the New York Motion Picture and TV Museum, maybe.
Man, maybe you should go dig up while you're digging up our episode of Turn On that we're going to smuggle out of there.
Yeah. So with that, I think that wraps up the history of Charlie Chaplins.
Yeah.
So that means it's time to plug away. Scott, what do you have to plug?
Well, Harmon, first and foremost, just want to let everybody out there know that Harmon and I have another podcast called This is the President, where we talk about all things presidential. And we also have a YouTube channel that goes along with that, where you can find on YouTube at This is the President, where we also talk about all things presidential, but we also show them as well. So you can check out some of the last ones. I got a new one that actually is going to go up this week, Harmon, that it's going to be impeached President Clinton dancing with the Pointer Sisters, with Sister Sledge, singing We Are Family.
Yeah, well, if you're dancing with Sister Sledge, what else are you going to be singing?
I know. Singing. No, there's the Bugle Woogie Boy of Company B and some others.
Some other names, dude.
Yeah. Oh, and
you
also
they have a big back catalog.
Yeah, they do. They're all right. I think it's produced by the guy from Chic, Nils Rodgers. The other interesting thing about this clip is that it was like the week after Hillary Clinton got elected to be a senator. So it's kind of a weird, obscure clip. And it was like also right after he got cleared on the impeachment charges. So from 1998, I believe. Anyway, it's on the YouTube channel. This is the President. Go stop by, check it out, listen to the podcast where you can find everywhere you find your favorite podcasts. And then also, as far as films go, well, Harmon, let's just say that we do have a new documentary short film coming out. We'll be premiering in the United States in April. I'm not allowed to say anything quite yet.
Until next Thursday.
But
when it's announced.
Yes, be sure to tune into the podcast, and you can find out where you can see maybe me and Harmon in person. Well, definitely Harmon and maybe even me in person when we screen our latest film.
I wonder if Robert De Niro will be.
Hey, don't. Whoa, just
we can't
cut
say
that
the name
out.
Of the festival.
Cut that out. Cut that out.
And for me, what I have to plug away is next Friday, March 6th, 11 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater in New York City.
The Pit.
I will be doing my show, Jokey-Okey, stand-up comedy karaoke in a game show, in a three-round game show. So come on out and see the world-famous Jokey-Okey at the People's Improv Theater.
Oh, my God.
And with that, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Comedy History 101, where we school you in comedy. Be sure to like, subscribe, and comment on YouTube. Oh, shit, we got some viewer mail. Should we do that?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's here, the viewer mail.
So be sure to like, subscribe, and comment on iTunes, Stitcher, or our website, Comedy History 101. We will read your comments on the air. And with that, we actually have a comment from one Peter F. Johnson on our history of South Park Spirit of Christmas.
Ah, okay.
It's a little bit of a bitter rant, he says.
Okay, all right.
I worked my ass off for them on a short called The Still Within and was originally cast to play the guy that sings Let's Build a Snowman in Cannibal. So that would be the Cannibal. Wow.
The movie, yeah.
The student film that Matt and Trey made. And he goes on to say, they either decast me because I was too old or because I voiced my opinion on parts of the script that I thought could be funnier. In either case, they never spoke to me again after they made it and never tossed me a bone, let me do a voice, anything, even though I sent their producers a lot of what I was doing over the years. So that's a kind of a
angry
comment
man.
From our listener, Peter F. Johnson, on our episode on the history of South Park Spirit of Christmas. And with that, thank you for tuning in, and we will be back next week Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.